Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that you are always there, Lord, to minister to us. As we open our heart to you, and as we look at you, the author and finisher of our faith, rather than looking at our problems, that they don't produce any faith or anything. The only thing they produce is problem, more problem. We had to look at you, Lord. We had to focus on you. We had to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, and not allow any of the other things to come in their way. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've been talking about the heart. And that's a topic really that I really feel is so important. See, I did another research. I said last week that there are about 800 scriptures on the heart. But I did another search. You know, I included heart and hearts, plural. There were more than 900 scriptures on it. Quite a few more. You know, and I wonder why nobody writes in the theological books about the heart when it's such a fundamental principle, a fundamental idea for God's point of view. Because, you know, what God cares about, you keep talking about it. That means they don't understand the fundamental importance of relating to the heart, because God deals with our heart all the time. That's the way he deals with us. And if we don't understand that, we cannot connect with God and be able to, you know, allow him to make the changes in us that he wants to do. You know, this is so important. I can't believe it. And, you know, and most of the stuff that you see about the heart is complete nonsense. Even the translation in the Bible is not accurate. It's terribly wicked. That's not the word in Hebrew. The word is really sick, which is a completely different perspective. And it's not that it's irreparable, because if it be irreparable, you couldn't get saved, you couldn't get anywhere with God. Half of the scripture about the heart are positive, are not negative. You know, I just mentioned last week, you know, that Jonathan Edwards, you know, just known, you know, the guy that the hunger of God, you know, saying the heart is like a viper hissing and, you know, spitting or whatever to God. Complete nonsense. How can anybody be so off the scripture when it's not the case? God, if God takes the bother of looking at your heart, he doesn't have time to waste for doing after wrong thing. It's because there is something there that he looks for, and he's looking for you to have the right thing there. If you are terribly wicked, you are never going to be able to connect with God or get saved. Hello? See, that's wrong doctrine that's been around for generations. And I'm not one of these people for the grace idea. You know, everything is fine. God, no, no. God is going to punish. When it comes the time of, you know, we pull out the Holy Spirit from the earth, they're going to get it. Okay? That's what the word says. You know, we have to be careful. The people take doctrines and push it to the extreme. And when you push things to the extreme, it's never the truth. Because God has a narrow road according to which we have to move. And it's not to the right or to the left. It's according to what he says. And we have to know what he says, otherwise we have no bearing, no ability to know what to do. This is why we had to rightly divide the word of God. When we do that, you know, we are going to be balanced. We are going to make progress. See, the flesh is the problem. And we are going to expand on that maybe today according to, we'll see really what's happening. I have no idea. Okay, but I know the Holy Spirit is in control. I know that, you know, I don't go according to my ideas, but I go to what the Word says on both sides of the story. Okay, positive or negative, it's all good. If it's the Word and it's the proper balance. Praise the Lord. So, you know, the first concept I want to reinforce from last week, and I want to reinforce it even more today, you know, that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, is not desperately wicked. It's really sick. That's the word, very sick, you know, and it's not incurable, like some translation made. It's curable, otherwise nobody could make it. Okay, so we have to be, you know, really, you know, dealing with the problems the right way to get somewhere. Otherwise, we're going to get nowhere because we are going according to the doctrine of man. Praise the Lord. There are scriptures in the Old Testament and New Testament that, you know, shows that the heart is not just all bad. Okay, now, the point is, the key is that our relationship with God is based on the heart. Because God is, that's what he looks at. That's what he is search. That's what he's trying to deal with. Okay? And so, and he's there, you know, to search what? He's trying to search the things that he can do for us so that we can progress, so that we can change, so that we can grow in him and he can improve. Because his desire is for everyone to be saved. For, you know, his desire is for everyone, you know, to connect with him. But that's not the case because we have free will. Okay, so we don't do that. Okay, so I'm going to, you know, just take up some more scriptures, okay, that, you know, we want to apply to ourselves. If we look about the heart, okay, what we are looking at is ourselves and the area in which the Lord wants to deal with us and the way the Lord wants to minister to us so to change what? Our heart. That's what is explained in the Old Testament. That's what is also evident in the New Testament. And sometimes, not all the time, is complete. You know, one of the problems that comes from, some ideas, some teaching, is that they take a scripture in isolation without considering all the others, and they make a theology of it. That's the way to get into heresy. Okay, you have to take all the scriptures, balance them out, and see what they say and come to our conclusion. Not get a theory and try to fit the scripture, you know, by eliminating the one that don't agree with our theory, you know, so that they fit to what you are saying. That's the wrong way of doing things. Unfortunately, that's very common. Now, okay. Let me take a subscription from Ephesians. See, this topic, the reason why I'm dealing with this topic, first of all, because nobody does. Second is because it's so practical and so important for us to understand, because if we want to get anywhere with God and not be religious, you have to really deal with, you know, at the level of the heart. Okay. And so, if you don't understand the heart, how can you deal at the level? We need to understand that, okay? But we have to go over because, you know, sometimes the way words are used are not, you know, people taking a word in the Bible and it takes always the same meaning. And that's not the case. That's not done. That's not the way it's done. That is rigid. That is not the way we speak. You know, to understand the meaning of a word, you have to see the context of what you're talking about. And that is going to determine actually the meaning that you have for that particular word. Okay. Here I'm going to give you an example here from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and following. Okay. See, one of the confusion that is all over the place is that our heart and our spirit are the same thing. This is not true. You know, I give you a new heart and a new spirit. Well, because there is a connection there. Okay. And here the connection comes very clearly in the New Testament that is much more clear than the Old Testament, okay, and for many explanations, because Jesus came to remove some of the confusion, okay, but we had to understand that even then, you know, some things are not always straightforward, and we had to understand them, okay. Ephesians 4:22 says, but you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man. This is talking to new believer, to born again, spirit-filled believer. Okay? And he's saying to them, but you put off concerning the former conduct, anyway, the way you were before you were born again. The old man, which is corrupt, grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So the idea is, you know, the old man, the unregenerated man, you know, what is left over of that inside you is, you know, is not always killed completely. It's not actually, it's never killed completely. Until you're down here, you're some of it. Okay? So he's saying that you had to do actually what do. You had to put off. That means you had to get rid of it. And that is a decision you had to make, but you can make a decision only if you know what that means. You know, if you understand what that involves. And here he's explaining very clearly, you know, that it's good. The old man, the natural man, you know, is going to be corrupt by the lust, by the desire, by the things that the flesh wants. Okay, so that is that we had to deal with those desires and get rid of them, stop them. In other parts, it says crucify the flesh. Okay. Now, in Galatians, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Okay. It says, and being renewed. I mean, renew is like renovation. You know what you do for renovation? You take all the old stuff, you throw it away, and you buy new stuff, and you put it there. That's what has to happen inside us. Clean up the house, but if you don't know what's wrong and what's right, and where you have to do the cleanup, you know, it's not that you have to just clean up the living room, it's always clean and nice. You have to go even to the washroom, even, you know, to the other places. At some time, it's more messy. There can be, you know, all the problems there. Okay? But if you don't know, you don't even go and look for the right thing. All right? So you have to know. And what you have to do? Renew the spirit in this. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, what is the spirit of your mind? My goodness, you know, why is using this is the only part in the Bible that talks about this so specifically. Okay. So evidently, it's not the spirit and it's not the mind. It's in the spirit of your mind, okay? So, and what that means is actually is the heart, okay? The heart is the part that is between your soul, your mind, and your spirit. And this is the communication point. And this is the communication point between your spirit that is, you know, if you're born again, you should be connected with God, and your mind that is all messed up yet because your heart is not completely, you don't completely understand everything. We never understand everything. We are not too smart spiritually. And we had to grow in our spiritual understanding, as we are going to see in a few minutes. Okay. But the idea is you get to, you know, renew in the spirit of your mind that you may put on what? You see, again, it's you had to put on. That means, you know, it's like you put on clothes, put on, you know, something is, you know, is something that is not really you, is something that you put on, that you learn to do. You know, put on what? The new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So he's talking about, you know, the way you are going to become is the new man, which actually is like Jesus. But you had to put that on because you don't even know what that means. And so you had to grow into that, and you had to do a work of putting on by getting off the old man and putting on the new man. There is a double job to do there. And sometimes that double job is not very easy to do because the old man is, well, is corrupt and grows corrupt, you know, according to the lust, the desire, the emotions, the feeling, the wanting, what he wants, okay? What the flesh wants, okay? So there are this fight going on, and you can read John, not too, but in Paul, all over the place, talking about, you know, the spiritually minded and the, you know, carnally minded. And the fight is going to go there. And that fight, that's the area of fighting which we had to grow, understand, and exercise what the word says, you know, apply the word to ourselves and to grow into the new man, apply becoming, you know, putting on the new man so that we start looking more and more like Jesus. Okay. It's not automatic. It's not that we are born again, boom, everything is done. No, the new man that is starting to be there inside you is going to have this characteristic, Jesus characteristic, you know, but needs to be put on. You know, people born again are just as a mess as before. They're just a little change. And that's good. That change is the beginning of the transformation. You know, and you can see when somebody is born again how transformation takes place. You know, just talk to them. Talk to them when they're born again and they're still swearing and stuff. You know, as time goes by, their mouth, one of the first things that should happen, if they're in the right environment, that their mind gets cleaned up. Okay, why? Because they start understanding that that's not the way that God wants it, and that is just the result of the exposure and the, you know, wrong thinking of the world. Now, so, the renewal of the spirit of your mind. So, I mean, the changing of the heart is nothing else than the renewal of the spirit of your mind. And it still has to do with putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Okay? So, that, unless we understand that this is what we should be engaged in when we are born again, we are never going to do anything. And that's why also people just don't change. They just remain as fleshy as when they began. After 50 years, they had the same problem that they had when they were born, before they were born again, because they never understood that they had to do a renovation job for their heart. And God cannot do it by himself. He has to do it through your wanting it, your desire, your decisions, your step that you put on and put off. Are you following me? Okay. So how do you go about doing that? Well, it's very simple. You know, you have to go to the Word and start to see what the flesh and what the spirit. Is that difficult? No. Read Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to the end of the chapter there, it is very clearly, the works of the flesh are blah, 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 all of them. You put them there. Okay. You see, and you know, it says, and the work of the flesh are, the word there, evident. So you don't need anybody to go and explain it to you because they are evident. I'm not going to read them all because, you know, they're all there. There are too many. Because that's the way we are before we are born again. So, but when we see some of these things manifested in our life, like jealousy, like, you know, lusts for things, like, you know, anything, you know, greed for money or, you know, any of the things that whatever you want, you know, anger, being just any of the things that are, you know, evident fleshy, evidently fleshy. What you do? Well, you take it off. I said, oops, that's something I had to put off. You know, if you're jealous about somebody, you know, that's something you had to put off. If you are envious about somebody, if you are unforgiving with somebody, those are all things that need to be eliminated, put off. And they are not going to go away by themselves. They have to be going away because you make a decision and you open yourself up to God to, you know, the word says there, crucify the flesh. Okay, so open yourself to God to be guided and empowered, and you know align your will with the will of God. That's the secret. That's Jesus' secret was, you know, I want what God the Father wants. So you start doing that, and what's going to happen is that you know, you may struggle for a while because these things are emotions are strong and these lusts are powerful, you know, and we're going to see much more. But you have to learn to, you know, engage in the battle and overcome. And it's not something that, you know, you have to do, you're the only one. Everybody has to do that. Some more, some less, depending on how messed up we were before. But we are all messed up before we came to Him. Okay? So, you know, so how do you do? Well, you know, you start using Galatians chapter 5 and take all those scripture there about the works of the flesh, and you start to just noticing when somebody matches on the things there. And then you say, okay, wait a minute, I had to work on that. And that's the beginning of the story. Then it comes from the battle that's going to go on. But, you know, the battle is not something you can win. Because you cannot put on in your strength the new man. This is God creating the new man in all holiness and so on. It's like Jesus. So you have to, you know, when you line up and you start putting off the old man, what's going to happen is that the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you and help you and developing your ability, your strength, and putting in there a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, if you were fearful, you know, about everything, you know, it would, not all fear is bad. Some fear is just God put it there. Okay, so that we don't do stupid things. All right, but you know, some fear is irrational and damaging, so that we should get rid of it. Okay, so, but you know, it gives us a sound mind. That's what the Word of God says. So, you know, or self-control, or ability to know what to do about ourselves. Okay, so we start doing that, and when the Holy Spirit works on us, He's going to change the fruit, the work of the flesh into the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot develop fruit of the Spirit by just repeating it. I'm loving, I'm loving, I'm firm, I have faith, I have faith. This is nonsense because that's the mind working. That is metaphysics, not Christianity. we have to understand that he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that built these things inside us. And we have to learn to trust him. And we in ourselves, we're not going to do it. So this is how this transformation or the renewal of the mind is done. It's done according to Romans 12, 1 and 2 and 3. Okay. Romans 1 and 2 says, beseech you therefore, brethren, okay, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as living sacrifice. You offer your body there to him. And don't let the body control you, but let the Spirit of God control you. Okay? Holy and acceptable to God. Okay? The old man is not holy. All right? So you offer it to him, and, you know, which is a reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So you have all your renew your mind with the Word of God. With the Word of God in you, show you the way you should think, show you the way you should do, show you the way you should be. And the Holy Spirit quicken, empower that inside you to enable actually to manifest it in your life. Okay? But you start, okay, looking at the Word and doing the renovation work, yet to remove the old stuff and you reject the old stuff, because otherwise, who, you know, is carnally minded is dead. And so you have to know that. Okay, so that's it. Continuing there, Romans chapter 2, conform not to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind, that we may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You are not going to go to know what the perfect good will of God is, you know, by doing things in the flesh. You're never going to do. You are going to be stuck there. Okay? This is nothing else than the transformation process, the sanctification process, which is called, you know, salvation, that is going to go on until Jesus comes back. This is a progression thing. Okay? Now, it doesn't stop there. Generally, people stop right there. You know, they do that all the time. When instead the whole following verse is really telling you an important element about it. Okay, or this progression says there. And do not be, you see, and says and. If there is an and, that means there is a connection on what was saying before, wouldn't you say? I don't know anybody that talks about the renewal of the mind and continue verse to verse 3. The word says there very clearly. And you, okay, do not, you know, okay, and, you know, okay, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is a transformation. The you know, transformation is the word metamorphosis, is actually, you know, a supernatural event that takes place. You are not that you are doing it yourself. Okay, so verse 3, for I say, there's a consequence of that. Through the grace given to me, to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly. For God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. What is saying there? Don't think you got everything. You know, what you're going to do is to look at yourself and look at reality the way it is and deal with the things that are there. Don't think, oh, I'm saved now, I made it. Never in the Bible says that. People may preach that, but never in the Bible says that. We are made it when Jesus comes back and our body is transformed. Now, okay, so we are growing into that as we deal with the issues that are in the our flesh and crucify those things and put them under the blood of Jesus and repent about them. The way we have seen many times, for example, says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 10, okay? very clearly, we talked about that many times, so I'm not going to get into that again. But the important thing is to understand, okay, that the old man just doesn't give up that easy. His heart skin and just doesn't want to die. He just wants to keep being the same way. And we had to really work on that to overcome it. Okay, now, the heart is nothing else, okay, than where, you know, the salvation takes place, the salvation process. Our spirit, if it's connected with God, there is no problem, but we don't have a clue what the spirit is. We are not in contact with them because it has been separated from us. When we are going to be transformed, it's different. But now, you know, it happened in the Garden of Eden, you know, an angel was put to divide those two things. So we cannot get that. Okay. And our heart is where, you know, things get stuck in the communication between our spirit and our heart and our mind, because, you know, our heart is where our judgment or our values are, as, you know, our value or our loves, our agape. Agape is from the heart, which is nothing else than our desire, our connection, our affections. Okay. And they determine when we care about something and somebody takes it away, we don't like it and we feel bad. When we want something and we don't have it, we are there longing for it. But when we get it, we really feel good. Okay. That is because, you see, the emotions are not part of the heart. The heart is the source of our emotions. Because there is what our motivation and our judgments are. That's where our value system is. If we love God more than anything else, that means we don't have idols, we don't go after other things. And anything that we know that by mistake we go after and is contradicting what God says, we get rid of it immediately. No problem. Are you following me? So what I'm telling you here is this. Okay, that we had to cooperate with God. And God is there going after us, looking at our heart and dealing with our heart in the areas in which he knows we can take a step. That's why he searches the heart and tries the reins. You know, the reins are actually the emotions. You know, well, that's the way they said in the past, but that's to do with our feelings. Okay, but the heart is where the effect on our emotion starts, because it's the things we want, the things we value, the things we care about. If we care about God the way the first commandment is, you know, we have to put him above everything else. If there are things that we want and God says something different from that, then the fight starts. Because that is something that we want more than God, is an idol. And that idol, what is going to do is to, if we care more about that, we are going to do that rather than do what God says. Are you following me? So that's why it's so important when we understand the part of the heart in what we do and in our relationship with God, then we are going to do something when we find ourselves in a pickle. We find ourselves in a difficult situation because we want to do something, but we know God doesn't want that. Or we generally, often we do it, turn around on the other side, or just get distracted, and so we end up doing it. That's what David did when he saw something that he didn't need to see. Are you still with me? Okay, good. So we have to, you know, we have a good starting point. Okay, if we want to grow in the Lord, in our relationship with him, Okay, we had to do this work of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Okay, and the old man is really, you know, we identify by Galatians chapter 6, chapter 5, you know, in which they should give us, you know, all the works of the flesh. And we had to systematically work on that. When you see, for example, that you get mad because somebody did, you know, was successful and you weren't, you got the job to do that. Okay? When you, you know, don't like when somebody corrects you, you know, you got the job there. It was just pride. Okay? So, I mean, I can't list everything there. You know, you had to do the listing yourself. You had to discover yourself the things that you had to work on. And then do the work that is required. I mean, start to, you know, read the scripture, read them, get information, know how to handle those situations so that you can progress. And it's not, you see, it's not the, just the work. It is not behavior modification here. This is change of heart. When your heart changes, your behavior has changed already. Okay. Why? Because the motivation to do those things isn't there anymore. Praise the Lord. See, He provides our ability to overcome. Okay. See, Jesus Himself thought about this quite a bit. Okay, that's why I'm surprising that people don't talk about this stuff. You know, for example, you know, the fact that the heart is separated from God, you know, is weak and is, you know, yeah. For example, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 says, these people, was talking about the Pharisees. Okay, now the Pharisees were really religious people. I mean, they thought they got God in their side because they knew all the rules and all the things they were following. Even, you know, for spices, they had to even tithe about the spices. Like God couldn't care less about your spices. God actually gives lots of spice to our life if we follow Him. I tell you, it's the opposite. Okay? So, anyway, so these people, the Pharisees, draw near to me with their mouth but and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So you see, it didn't matter that they were doing all ceremonials, all the things. They were praying all the time according to the rule. They were doing everything that they had to do. I mean, they were regimented about doing things that they thought were important. And all the stuff that was done physically didn't matter zilch, anything, completely useless. All the religious stuff that we do is useless if we don't connect with God. Now, here it says there, but their heart is far from me. See, it's their heart that wants God wants. See, heart near, okay, their heart is, okay, they draw near to me with their mouth, but and with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So the heart near means that we love, we value God. Heart far away from God means that we have other things that we care more about. Okay, that's as simple as it is. And which that should be give us some understanding. Okay. And goes on to say exactly what I said before, I mean my own terminology was says, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandment of men. So you see that all the physical activity is vain if it's not, there is not a corresponding heart position, you know, that is inside us. So what we had to go after is not the physical thing. What we had to go after is our the position of our heart, that we really love God, that we value God, that we want to serve Him, that we want to do the things that He wants us to do, to please Him. You know, what is faith? Faith is to believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we seek Him diligently. If we don't seek Him diligently, doesn't matter how much we want certain things and we try to get them, we are not really any faith. We are just mind, you know, Christian Sciences. That's what we are. Which is not Christianity, it's a cult. Are you following what I'm saying? This should open our eyes to teach us how really we can improve our relationship with God to the point that we know that we know that we know when there is something off, that we're going to act on it and we're going to work on it and we've got to get rid of it because God enables us to overcome. Praise the Lord. Okay, unless we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said it even to the woman at the well. You know, John 4, 23 and 24. You know, God is a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay, because that is such that God loves to connect with. Okay, now, the problem is that our heart is weak, is not perfect, is kind of messed up in certain area. Okay, in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, okay, says something that has to do with this aspect in us. He says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. So you see, because we don't really understand what it's telling us, that we really don't see the heart, don't see ourselves. Okay? And this is talking in general. You're not talking about just, you know, that applies even to people that love the Lord. How do you say that? Well, the word says that David loved the Lord, doesn't it? Well, he got distracted and he made a mess of himself. Okay? Just because the enemy knows how to distract us by our feeling, by our emotion, by our lust, and we just, at the moment, our mind is somewhere else about the things that we value. So that demonstrated one thing. David loved the Lord, but had some idols. And that was an idol that he had. There was some sexual lust there. Now, so one can love God and have other desire, rather lust in ourselves that are going to be calling on us and influencing the way we make do things. And that was a major situation, okay? It resulted. So, okay, praise the Lord. All right, so God weighs the heart, okay, because He sees our heart clearly, not as ourselves that we cannot see it very much because the other feelings, emotions, things are there affecting the way we see things, we perceive things, okay? So we need to understand, okay? Now, we need to get wisdom from God because we cannot do it in our own, according to our own thinking, according to the, you know, the worldly ways, okay? And, but that has to grow in us. As we grow in connection with the Lord, one of the things that we get more wisdom. And wisdom is nothing else than understanding what we have to do in practical way for in our life. That's what wisdom is. Okay? It's not just, you know, some people that think they're wise, they're wise. They're just indoctrinated in a certain way. Okay? It's actually to be able to see things right and to do the right thing when it needs to be done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I don't know if I had the time to cover this. I am going to start. Okay. We're going to start. Okay. In chapter 2, 1 Corinthians verse 6 says, however, okay, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. It doesn't say perfect, mature. Okay. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So, you know, we took wisdom to the people that have some understanding. They are grown in the Lord, okay, maturity in the Lord, spiritually, okay. Okay, but not the wisdom of this age, or, you know, actually that can be translated as the world too, or this age or this world, okay, the wisdom of this world, okay. Now, Paul could say that because he had this wisdom, okay? And he didn't get it himself according to his own understanding, but he got that by revelation, okay? And here he will continue, verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God has ordained before the ages for our glory. Hallelujah. Okay, so he says, you know, but I speak the wisdom. You see, he got inside information, okay, from God, the wisdom of God, okay? And he didn't get it, but it's a mystery. Okay, to the world, the wisdom of God is a mystery. What does it mean? A mystery is something you cannot know, okay? But evidently, he got it. Because I have it, and that's what I'm preaching to you. Okay, how did he get it? Okay, because this mystery was a mystery because it was hidden from the beginning of the world. Actually, you know what it's really saying, up to when Jesus came, and after we got this revelation, nobody knew about it. But I can tell you about it because I got it. That was Paul teaching us. Okay, because he was connected with Jesus, he was connected with the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, he got this revelation. That didn't mean that Paul knew everything. Paul didn't know everything. Paul had some revelation from God about the things that he had to teach. Hello? He wasn't God. Only God knows everything. Just because somebody got the Holy Spirit doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is going to tell you everything. You couldn't handle it anyway. It would be more of a problem. That's why, you know, according to his will, according to his wisdom, according to his knowledge, he knows what has to tell you that you have to know, and so that you are going to be able to apply for yourself. Otherwise, you get lost. If you get one millionth of the information that God has, you cannot cope with it because it's too much for your small brain. Okay? So what he does, he gives you revelation, little pieces of stuff that you are going to be able to use. Okay? And these are not mystery anymore because they've been revealed to Paul and been revealed to the apostles. And so, you know, this is available now. It's not a mystery for you. But really, to get it, you need the Holy Spirit to help you up because your brain can't make it. Are you with me yet? So, you know, this wisdom is what, if you follow on, what I teach in the TBS, you know, Thursday Bible study, you know, was a decree. This is a decree that God has created. We cannot make decrees, no matter what anybody says. God is the only one who can make the decrees. And this wisdom, you know, we can say about what God has done when we got the revelation, and so we can respond it, but it's not our decree, it's his decree. We can do things ourselves that we are not qualified to do. Now this is the thing, okay, that, you know, the wisdom is a mystery hidden from the beginning of the world, but the thing was that decree, all the decrees were established at the beginning of creation. All the truth that has to follow, all the world is set all together by the physical law, all the spiritual law in operation, they were all declared at the beginning, and God has everything unchangeable for all the generations. They think God does not change. It's always the same. Okay, let me continue here. Okay, so you know, the fact that the mystery was a mystery is because, you know, none of the rulers of these ages knew, and had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory. So, okay, they just didn't have a clue what they were doing, but just following their feeling, their emotions, and so on. Okay? So, then, okay, goes on, okay, about their own, showing what the Old Testament thought. Okay, that verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, it says there, you know, but it is written, eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, not I've entered into the heart of man, into the heart of man. You see, that's where the situation is. Okay, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. See, again, you know, the key thing, this concept of those who love him, you know, the love him here is first commandment. Those that are connected, those that are, you know, open to him, those who are, have God as value number one in their scale. Okay? So this is the requirement for us to be able to understand, to receive this mystery. If we don't love him first, there is no way we're going to get spiritual revelation. You think, you know, yeah, I'm going to study the word, I'm going to find out everything. Yeah. That doesn't do it. You just love the Lord. Obey him, listen to him. Revelation is coming by yourself. You do no effort whatsoever. And if you otherwise do it the other way, you're going to get deceived because you're going to distort things according to your flesh instead of the spiritual truth. Let me continue here. I'm going to land pretty soon. Yeah. So, but after having said that I was talking about the Old Testament, that no eyes have seen, no ear heard, not entered into the heart of man, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Who got his Spirit? People who are born again. People after Jesus came. So, why? Because they love Jesus, they open up to himself, so there was a change there, and God had the priority number one, that was loving him, you know, more than anything else, okay? And so they got, you know, but not everybody, you know, the people that got this revelation were not all the half, you know, Christian that were going Christian around those days. Were the people that were close to Jesus, were the disciples that got these things. Are you listening to me? Okay. The apostles got this revelation. They discuss it together with each other, and they recognize what they pass it over to us. That's why, you know, the early church were going, you know, was going according to the teaching of the apostles, weren't going to the teaching of everybody who was coming around, like happens today. Then you get all different type of revelation, you know, lots of books, lots of confusion, and there is no truth. Now, let me continue. Okay, God has revealed them to his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So, you know, this is a spiritual things, okay? But for what man knows the things except the things which is in him? Even so, the things of God, only God knows except the Spirit of God. Okay. Now, says he, explain this. Now we have received, you know, collectively, but not everybody had it, you know, the apostles had it, you know, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. Okay. That we may know the things that have been freely given to us. So you see, there is a purpose for that revelation. So to know that mystery so that we know what we can expect. Okay. And says, this thing we speak, not with word of man wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, it's not by getting our own ideas, by our own reasoning, but by taking scripture, put together, and they come together to reveal this truth. Okay. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him, nor can be known to them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritually discerned there is anakrino, which means carefully analyze using the scriptures. Now, but he, I want to close here with this end of this chapter because there is an important concept that I had to explain because there is a wrong teaching on that. Okay? And it says, but the spiritual, you know, but says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is rightly judged by no one. I mean, he understands things, he connects with the Spirit of God, is really, you know, other people in the world that doesn't have a clue of what he's doing. Okay. For, and now this is the really important verse, probably the most important part of this, the whole things that I've been reading to you. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Question mark. The implication, this is a rhetorical question. He says, nobody knows the God, and nobody can instruct God. Then goes on and comes the other part. It seems for people that don't understand anything to contradict completely what they're saying before. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. What is it saying there? He's saying that we know everything? Like Jesus? Absolutely no. What he's saying is these things have been revealed to us. So in this area, what he was talking about this, in the verse before, that this thing has been revealed to us, this is the mind of Christ that we know, the little part that we had to understand that was revealed to us, and now we can go by that truth. But we don't have the same mind that Christ has, or lots of people go around teaching, because our heart is not in that place. Are you following me? He doesn't contradict, you know, in one verse, the scripture doesn't contradict himself. In one moment says, but we have known the mind of Christ, the mind of the Lord, but we have the mind of Christ. You know, you have to be retarded thinking that God contradicts himself in the same verse. Do you see that? I mean, that's pretty clear. But you hear the fact that people, oh, you know, we have the mind of Christ. Why? Because they take that part and they ignore all the other part that comes before. Do you see what I'm saying? If you don't see it, just read the scripture and see that he's saying two things that are the opposite. So he's referring this about the mind, the knowledge. You see, it's not the mind idea. It's the knowledge of Christ concerning what? The gospel. That's what we know. But we don't know all the mysteries. Jesus knew everything. And you think you know everything? You are dreaming in technical. Are you following what I'm saying? So be careful when people says that. And I know lots of teachers that are actually not, they're false teachers because they teach something that is not true in the scripture. And with that, I'm closing for today. I'm past the time. So I wanted to finish this section. So let's make a decision here. Okay. God wants, you know, us to grow. Would you agree with that? Okay. He wants us to become more and more like Jesus. But we cannot do that in our own strength. Okay? We can connect with the Holy Spirit and with the Word so that we allow the renewal of the mind. Okay? So we have to make a commitment to operate according to the instruction that the Word says here, okay, so to be able to receive the things that God wants us to give us. Okay? And we have to understand the mystery. Okay, what is this mystery? Is the transformation, is our salvation, the God goodness toward us, want to save us and set us free, but we have to cooperate with him to be able to not just one day say a sinner's prayer and boom, you know, you got it. That's not what the Word says. That's what man teaches. But God, many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen one are the one that hold on to the end. The other one are not chosen. So what does it mean? Figure it out yourself. Connect the dots. Connect the dots, that's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Okay? Let's pray that we open up to the Spirit of God. And we become, you know, sensitive to what the Holy Spirit teaches us so that we, you know, not only, you know, our mind knows this revelation, but our heart knows it and lines up with it. Okay? Okay, praise you, Father. Thank you for your goodness, for the good news that you have communicated to us. For the glory that you want to impart part to us by transformation, by renewal of our heart and our mind, that we may be able to follow your direction, that we may be able to overcome the power of the flesh and to implant in us the new man, to grow in our life and overcome the things of the flesh. Thank you for your love and everything you have done for us. We are grateful and open to you, and we are going to allow the Holy Spirit direction to impact our decisions and change us into Jesus' image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.